Okay, we're going to move on to the Fire Protective Association budgets. It's the next item on our agenda. And we also have Doug Graff here with us to make that presentation. And this is an action item that we will be voting on.
Thank you, Chair Kelly. Annual decision item for the board this month. And we'll walk through a brief presentation. We'll tighten this up a little bit to get to that decision point for you. So, Ron, if we can tighten that up just a bit. The purpose for the presentation is to orient the board to the budget process so you see how we get to this point today, following what's in law required for us to work with local budget committees to develop adequate protection for the state of Oregon within our protection districts. We'll high level touch the funding structure and our individual meetings. We have walked through this before, so I feel like we can hit this at a high level. A few data points on the scope of work in front of the department relative to acres burned and numbers of fires that we respond to. So essentially, what do you get with the investment relative to what our workload is in front of us? And then Ron will close on the final slide with the recommendation to approve the budgets and associated rates. Mr. Graham?
Thank you again, Chief Graff. For the record, again, Ron Graham, Deputy Chief of Operations, Fire Protection ODF. Really, what we're going to talk about today is the fiscal year 2022 fire protection budgets. We do have three budgets, basically, overall. We have the base level, and that's what we'll be talking about in regards to these fiscal fire protection budgets. We have our statewide severity program that bolsters our base level, and we touched on that in the previous presentation. And then large fire costs. And again, this is another blending funding model where the general fund and the Oregon Forest Land Protection Fund share dollar to dollar for the first $20 million of large fire costs. And above that, it's general fund again, and above that, an insurance policy and a partnership with FEMA across all of that as well. Next slide.
Ron, could you increase your volume on your end, perhaps? And we'll do the same on this end. Thanks.
All right, I'll give it a whirl and let me know if it makes a difference as I do that. Is that better?
Yep, give it a whirl. We'll see how it goes.
Okay. All right, once again, we have a funding partnership in the complete and coordinated fire protection system across all of the levels. And when we look at the base level, especially, we have funding that funds our state office program, the headquarters services, the fire protection division staff, funding at the area level through our Northwest Oregon area, Southern Oregon area, and Eastern Oregon area level, the districts, and through our cooperators and landowners. That's the partnership at the base. And that's a blend of private and public dollars. Private landowners can pay no more than 50%. The general fund pays 50%. And when we say public landowners pay 100%, that is recognition that the general fund pays the admin prorate for the private landowners. And so in this partnership, in this complex blend, we have agreements with federal partners such as the Bureau of Land Management, the Bureau of Indian Affairs, the Army Corps of Engineers. Through those agreements, also they fund adequately their appropriate spot in percentage into the base level fire protection budget. Next slide. This is the diagram that we use to kind of depict our fire funding framework. And as I mentioned, we're really talking about that base protection layer. This is what puts ODF staff at the ready, fire ready, equipped, hired, trained, ready to go to respond to fires up and through our incident management teams, the three type one incident management teams, that are really second to none amongst states across the country that have any kind of complement similar to our three type one incident management teams. So that's what we'll be focusing on, and that's what we reference. But as you can see from what I said in the previous moments, this really is a good visual of how the funding split is and the different and various levels of our funding program. And then, you know, what that doesn't reflect is if, again, if we would exceed the $25 million insurance policy in full, we'd be back to a general fund ask through the emergency board. Next slide, please.
Ron, I'll jump in for just a second and emphasize for the board, the budget reflects this base protection. That's the decision point for today, adequate protection at the base, which sets our rates and establishes the revenues to collect for that protection system. Thanks, Ron.
Yeah, thank you, Doug. So our budget development for this base level, as Doug was just describing, happens out at our fire districts, our fire protection districts, as well as at the headquarters in Salem. We develop our budget and those area budgets as well. Out in the field, they have, you know, guidance, review, input, all across their process by the Forest Protective Association boards and budget committees. Ultimately, those boards through the spring Forest Protective Association meetings develop and approve at their level these recommended budgets, bring them here to this group every June as required to get approved by the Board of Forestry. This really does establish the level of protection that we have and the associated costs, the per acre assessments. And that, again, is guided by our legislative policy in Oregon Revised Statute 477230. Next slide. What does this budget fund? It funds the readiness for fire protection and 16.2 million acres, roughly half of Oregon's forested land that we protect, for 12 fire protection districts. It gives us initial and extended attack capacity through our firefighters that staff our engines, lookouts that might still be staffed, aerial observers, camera detection center monitors and observers, district contracted helicopters, initial attack bulldozers and other heavy equipment, our frontline seasonal firefighters, which include dispatchers and our other fire support and fire business, fire cash, safety, you name it. All of that is funded at the base level. And again, think about having your fire department staffed, trained, equipped, and ready for whatever comes during the fire season. Next slide. And all of this is built for our average fire seasons. And the latest 10-year average has us about 981 fires. You can see that that's fluctuated a little bit to just below 1,200 fires, but fairly consistent over time, the number of fires, statistical fires, that we actually respond to on ODF-protected lands. You look at the bars, the blue indicates human-caused fires in that number of fires, which are generally our driving factor in the number of fires, and black depicting lightning fires. This graphic represents from 2011 through 2020. Next slide. Associated correspondingly, the acres burned. This is where we typically see a flip of that trend. Remember, the number of fires is driven by human-caused fires typically. The number of acres burned during the same period and throughout time has been more driven by lightning-caused fires. Oftentimes when we get lightning busts, they come in multiple to hundreds of lightning strikes and, you know, tens to hundreds of fires at the same time. Typically in a little bit harder to reach access areas on top of it. So that becomes challenging to contain all those fires in very turbulent weather conditions. Last year was a bit of an exception. As you can see, the blue human-caused fires were the larger portion of our acres burned. That was primarily due to human-caused fire activity during the September Labor Day fires. Anything outside of lightning gets categorized as a human-caused fire. And we average now over 95,000 acres burned on ODF protection, including the 2020 fire season. So these numbers drive what we build our protection budgets for and the staffing for, as to respond to these number of fires annually, these number of acres burned annually. Next slide, please. All right, Doug, I believe you wanted to touch on the spring 2021 association meetings. I know you attended most of those meetings, and between the two of us, we attended all of those meetings.
Yeah, I'll do that. Thank you, Ron. The meetings were held this spring, and the budget committees were active and engaged. These are local landowners who share that investment in the protection system, and well attended, and all associations and district budget committees supported the budgets that are before you today for consideration. And in closing, the recommendation from the department is to approve the fiscal Yeah, 2020 District and Association Protection Budgets as presented in Attachment 1.
Okay. Any comments from Acting State Forester Hirsch? Good. Okay. Hillary, has anyone signed up for public testimony today?
Chair Kelly and board members, no one has signed up for item 4.
Okay. I would like to seek a motion on the proposed recommendation. The action here is to approve all fiscal year 2022 district and association protection budgets as presented in attachment 1. Do I have a motion? You may.
Brenda McComb, for the record, just make sure I understand, Doug. So the dollar allocations among all of these districts sum up to the amount that would be needed to address that 950,000 acre, whatever it was, year. Is that correct?
Brenda, that is the effort. On an annual basis, the districts look at protection standards and evolve an adequate protection. I would describe the fiscal budgeting process as incremental advancements in the fire protection system to make the leaps necessary to advance fire protection commensurate with the risk we're facing. The biennial budget process, the omnibus bills that come from the legislative, that's where we advance in leaps and bounds commensurate with risk. And the last effort that the state evolved that conversation was in 2013 with the passage of the Wildfire Protection Act.
One other follow-up, Doug, if I could. Is money that is goes unused in one biennium carried forward to the next?
Absolutely. So these fiscal budgets in law, what's carried over as a starting budget number, which really defines or influences the rate for the following year. So we're able to carry unspent dollars.
Sorry, Nancy.
Yeah, Nancy Hirsch, Acting State Forester. I maybe just want to add a couple subtleties to that. The question, I believe, was, do you have carryovers, or if you don't utilize your full budget? So on the biennial budget side and that authority, the general fund, in my view, does not carry over. And I see Bill Herber shaking his head. On the private collections, there's a process by which the agency goes through that's called a cost computation, whereby in the budgeting process, there would either be a credit or a debit that would then increase or decrease these rates, or at least be one factor in that. And then secondly, I just wanted to make sure on your first question, I believe you were talking about the key performance measure of 98%. Was that what you were referring to, or were you referring to the acres?
Well, the reference was the 10-year average for numbers of fires at 930 fires that we respond to on an annual basis.
Okay. Thank you. And maybe I'd offer an additional comment to Doug's comments. These base budgets provide the adequate level of protection. They also need to be within, our biennial budget authority. And I would characterize that, as you have seen both Doug and Ron describe, the increase in the risk on the landscape has been a call for need to increase the capacity. And I think Doug did spell out, with the work of the governor's wildfire council, the governor's recommended budget and the bills that are out there, that's very much required in order to achieve the goals and the objectives that we have. So thank you for your question.
Any other questions? Still seeking a motion and a second. Go ahead.
I would make a motion to approve, and then I have a question, but I can wait for a second.
I second. So, Doug, this is a 2.3% increase over the last budget, I believe. And I want to be sure these three assumptions are correct. These 12 associations are audited by a third party audit. I believe that's correct. And then our fellow board member, Joe, currently serves on this committee. Are all three of those things still correct?
So a point of clarity, the three operating associations would have a third-party external audit on those books, and that's Walker Range, Coos, and Douglas Forest Protective Association. The other districts are agency operations, so our audits would be consistent with Secretary of State accounting principles for governance on the executive branch.
Okay.
Okay, in that case, I am going to call for a vote if all board members could unmute themselves. Carla Chambers?
Aye.
Ben Doomling?
Aye.
Chandra Ferrari?
Aye.
Joe Justice is absent. Brenda McComb?
Aye.
And myself, Jim Kelly? Aye. With that, the board reaching consensus, the motion carries.